This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast. Over 40 years of playing PlayStation and 8 plus years in their gamers media combined. I want to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
Started that after I exhaled.
So I almost had a stroke to remind you.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Standard Time on YouTube and 8 a.m. on iTunes, Spotify and other podcast services. If you'd like to be a part of future conversations, please join us on Facebook, Discord, comment below. If you're feeling generous, join us on Patreon at patreon.com/popculture. Set over there, check out the tiers. We'll be very happy to disappoint you.
If you do support us on Patreon, you can watch us record this show live. We should also mention that this week we did get ourselves a lovely new Patreon named Akilobyte. He's a BL fan of the Young and the Wrestlers.
Nice.
Jumped on with $20-y-dos.
Wow.
An absolute champion.
Wow, champion.
So he came and joined us on Thursday's show.
Thank you for supporting the show. I do not partake.
Like, I'm thankful by proxy.
Yeah, I'm like a head of the business. Thank you.
So yeah, so that's awesome. Big thank you once again to Kilbyte.
Yeah, no,
you're a
cool.
Damn champion. He helped fund us watching AEW. Get to that in a minute.
Well, that's more wrestling content.
It is.
Because
we're talking about AEW this week, so it's all well and good. If you want to show support for Pop Cultures on your body, head to popcultures.com/shop. My shirts and other sort of shit with our logos on it.
Not these ones.
We are also on Twitch at twitch.tv/thepopculturist. Come over there, watch us stream some games. If my internet doesn't have a dumpster fire. So apparently Optus just gave the fuck out this week.
Oh.
So here I am. Streamed Everybody's Golf on Tuesday with Max. Awesome. I'll talk to that in a minute. And then I get all ready to rock and roll on Wednesday for some Beat Saber. Internet just dies. I don't know what the fuck happened. Apparently Optus was just like, only Australian websites would load.
Right.
Any internationally hosted website just didn't work.
Right.
Which means they tried to install a blocker of some sort and fucked it up.
Cool. That's one of the biggest telecoms in the world.
Second biggest in Australia. Quality work. But yeah, so we watched AEW before I came in here. You haven't watched it yet, and I don't want to spoil it for you because it's fucking dope. I know we don't talk about. We always talk about wrestling in the show, but because Josh and I
do have a wrestling show.
That's true, but you and I only catch up pretty much now. So it's like, well, let's talk because you're kind of falling back into it, which is nice. AEW is dope. It's the whole thing felt like kind of a love letter to wrestling.
I hate that term.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, man. Whole love letter thing.
I know it sounds lame, but like there's.
But you see it everywhere.
Oh,
like,
I very rarely see it.
Oh, Reddit must love it.
Oh, okay. Like
this hidden gem.
Ooh,
anyone
hidden
play
gem.
This hidden gem?
Yeah, that
fucking
makes me mad.
Crash Bandicoot. No.
He's like, no.
People are catching on now. Like, no. You're the only one who's played it.
Are people jumping in the.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
oh.
No. Just you /S, which is sarcasm. Yeah. People are starting to get their backs up now. That's good. Let's keep going.
I love Reddit. But yeah, so
cater to what I like to read. Fuck all y'all.
But yeah, no, it's brilliant. Like there's a lot of legends in there, which is very, very cool. So they had Jim Ross, which is that's been confirmed a while ago. So he's back on commentary.
Permanent? Is he permanent or just for like this?
I'm pretty sure he's perm. You can tell he's aged.
Yeah.
Because he's fucking old. Surprise. But like there are some moments in it where when it gets a little very like a little attitude era-y and you hear Jim Ross like because I've gone like he said although my wrestling is most recent I have gone back and there's something about
him
and he's like commentating off very cool fucking things.
He adds the emotion to matches.
No Michael Cole because Michael Cole's a piece of shit.
Michael Cole's no Jim Ross.
Yes. No, that was a compliment to him. Like, you know how it's like, oh, you know this person, which means like you're not good. I'm like, no, you're better. Thank you. Please don't be Michael Cole.
But if you go back far enough, you'll see Jim with baby Michael Cole next to him, like learning the ropes.
He's like, don't do any of this. Oh, you did all those things.
He was shit back then too. He used to have tips in his hair. Like 20 years ago.
Oh, gross. Like,
well, so lie.
Yeah, me too. The, I mean, like you said.
Like the early aughts.
Yeah, 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 me too.
Timmy Heaps. Probably wife out.
But yeah, no, it's good. It's real. It feels like real good old school wrestling. There's violence, the swears, there's blood. It feels like what, you know, like, yeah, the PG product of WWE is good and I still enjoy it, but this is that next
adult.
It's adult, yeah. Like, it's like, yeah, it feels, yeah, made for us, which is nice, very nice indeed.
Very good.
How have you been, man?
Good.
Yeah. So we are recording later on a Sunday because we normally record.
We're just busy.
We normally record Saturday morning.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of shit got in the way.
Yeah. And here we are.
So now it's like
36 hours later. Well, I'm a simple man.
Mm.
All right. You know, it's like, hey, we gotta go do this. Cool. When? Where? How long? What's expected of me? Okay.
That last one is just like, how much do I have to do?
Exactly. And I'm a man with a plan. Mm-hmm. Right, here's what I'm doing. Here's how I'm going
to
take.
You like me? You like to live by routine.
My day is, you know, okay. Well, I'll do this and that and that. And when it, I don't mesh well with people who just wing it. I can't do it. I cannot do it. I can't do it. My life is a plan. It's routine. And today was just a bit frustrating. Yeah. But I'm here. Very good. I'm very particular.
Yeah.
You'd know it from all the years of you know. Trying to organize stuff and all that. It's like, what the fuck is his problem?
So that's the thing. Like, back in the day, I never understood that. But now that I've got a kid and, well, you know, like, life events happen.
It's essentially, how can I make the most of my day so I get the most free time for me?
Yeah.
That's my thought process.
Yeah.
So, efficiency. It's fucking bang. You want to go do this? All right. That should only take about 45 minutes. About 8 minutes each way to get there and back. I should be home within the hour. It's been an hour and 15 minutes. What the fuck is happening? Why can't I go home?
Well, that's why one of the things, like, when we do flux this, our recording time, it always kind of hurts me a little bit. But then again, it's because it's the one variable of the weekend.
Yeah. No, it goes both ways. Sometimes I can't do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sometimes you can't, and we...
Because, you know, that's the other problem we have of filming on a weekend. We're like, we forget that maybe we have to be social once a month.
That's the worst.
Like yesterday, so I had to go to... Millie's friend turned 30, so there's a big shindig. Mm. I'm like, but then your friends, and
I didn't even have a 30th birthday party. Mum's like, what do you want for the birthday? I'm like, take the kids, get me a bowl of whiskey, and let me turn my phone off. Happy birthday!
You know, I'm going the rest of them. Because the WWE show is like the week before. I'm like, let me buy some decent tickets.
Yeah.
Maybe buy a belt.
Mm.
I'm going to wrestling. Huh?
Ringside? Or is it like $800?
Well, it varies. There's 47, which is the next suburb over. Like, you just have to watch it. I think it's at the Rod Laver Arena, and you get to watch that one back from like Flinders Street Station. So you're about four blocks away. Like,
right.
That's like the cheapest. And then it gets a little bit closer, and there's about $160 is sort of upper rings. Like, not ringside, but it's like up in the little echelon-y part, which I think might be preferable because ringside, it all flat, a bit tough.
Especially if you're short.
I'm not short, thankfully, but you know.
But you're not tall.
I'm not tall.
Compared to most others.
I'm not tall compared to the average. I'm like, what, 5'10", 5'11". So I'm thinking maybe on those incline-y ones. I did look at that big superstar meet and greet pack, so I thought I'd be like, and fucking touch everyone. Like $999 it is. $993 to be exact.
Your 30th? Is it?
Yeah.
It's your 30th.
Mm.
1, 2, 3.
The big problem is the week before we have PAX.
Oh, okay.
So I'm like, well, I was going to spend some money on some hotel and stay for PAX. Uh-huh. So I've got to balance the dollar.
You might want to stay for the whole week.
Yeah, might as well just hang out in fucking Melbourne, right?
Nice.
So I get some like upper mid tier ticks.
Fair enough.
You know, SmackDown show should be very cool. Mm-hmm. But yeah, because like, that's the thing we have to look at now is like for the rest of the year, all Millie's circle of friends, and I guess some of my friends, turning 30.
Mm. So you're at that age bracket.
You're at that, yeah. So everyone, we all had our 21st. You know, every week for like fucking 4 months was like some shindig.
Mm.
And the other way, I love it how it's like, yeah, 9 years later, I'm like, I don't fucking do any of this.
It's like all the 21st, then all the weddings in between, and then all the 30ths.
Yeah.
And then divorces happen.
Then everyone just dies.
And then it's the 40ths.
Yeah.
And then it's my kids fucking. I like yours is way more optimistic.
I'm like, everyone just waits to die from like 30 onwards. Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing apart from that. I'm probably gonna do a whole bunch.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I could just get. I'm like, all right, I'm going to get a drink. Let me sit in here.
Just give me the night off.
Just give me the night. I'll drink and I'll pass out in the studio.
Mm-hmm. Quietly.
Yeah.
Keyword.
Quietly.
Quietly. You won't even know I'm here.
This headphones on, fucking dead.
We've been playing conversation before we started.
Just screaming at the top of my lungs. Headphones on, music blaring.
Yeah.
Just pooping.
You get a toilet chair?
I do need a chair.
You said you wanted to be locked in.
I'm like, well, compromises have to be made.
In the window. Into the old chamber pot.
You've been in there for 5 minutes. Already shitting out the window.
Yeah, I'm in here for 400 more, so fuck off and leave me alone. Yeah, you've been there for 5 minutes, you're already shitting out the window.
I didn't realise that I'd get so anxious being locked in a room.
But I told you I wouldn't come out, so.
I'm a man of my word.
You should be proud.
This shows resilience.
Resilience, faithfulness, determination.
Shit gets weird on a late enough Sunday night. What have you been playing?
What haven't I been playing?
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit. Just perusing the PC field.
Ooh, yeah. How is that PC, Mark? Because as we mentioned last week, you've got WoW up and running.
Yeah.
So you've rejiggered the PC.
I didn't play WoW, though.
Oh, okay.
Play CSGO with Alex, because he wasn't playing.
Oh, of course. Yeah, makes sense.
We've got them set up next to each other now. CSGO. Pretty good. I'm pretty shit.
Oh, yeah. There's a skill gap there.
I got yelled at.
CSGO.
But, you know, I deserved it.
Yeah.
Because I'm trash. And I'm worthless.
According
to this guy, anyway.
I have tried to play CSGO, like Counter-Strike before, maybe in Source. Yeah, and like, because there's no down sights, it's fucking jank.
Yeah, no, it took me way back.
Yeah,
to,
I like it.
Overnight LAN lockouts at the LAN cafe that used to be in Geelong, where we used to play CSGO, Counter-Strike and all that stuff. That was cool.
The issue that I have with it, I'm like, your games have progressed for a reason. This blows.
That's pretty good. I had fun. I enjoyed it. Magic the Gathering Arena.
Oh, what's the arena part?
It's like Magic the Gathering Online.
Oh, okay.
But like Hearthstone.
Oh, all right.
Cool graphics.
Very
nice. That's cool. Gwent.
Oh, you dove back into Gwent.
Back into Gwent. The dilemma is, I've got to pick one card game.
Only one.
It can be only one. But with Gwent. Because when I stopped playing just before that big throne break launch, which I also bought and have played, I stopped playing at that point, and at that point, it was like a relaunch, so all your cards got scrapped for full value instead of like quarter value. So if you have double ups, like if it takes 800 scrap to craft a card, you can scrap duplicates for 200 scrap, so 4 into 1. Whereas when that happened, it was all 1 for 1. So I had 100,000 scrap. And no cards. I was like, what the fuck do I do here?
Yeah.
So I was looking around, and to build like some really, really good decks takes like 6,000 scrap. I got 90,000. I'm like, all right, I'm in. It's made a whole bunch of decks. And that's the benefit of it, is I don't have to spend any money.
That's a bonus.
At all. I can make any fucking deck I want at any point.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That is awesome. So all those hours you put into Gwent aren't wasted, which is nice.
It was even better because it gave me so much scrap back, all the cards I didn't really want anymore or weren't going to use. Now I can put that to something I want to use.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
And pretty much lines up for any new cards that come out in the next
expansion. So when the next expansion drops, I have enough scrap to just buy every card that comes out. That's cool. But whereas Magic is really good.
Yeah.
It's really good.
So you're a Magic player from way back.
Yeah. From 20 years-ish. Mm. But I'm starting from the bottom. Oh, nothing.
Mm.
Oh, nothing. And the reward system is nowhere near as generous as Gwent. Like, in the last 2 days I've played Gwent, I've earned about 25 card packs just from free to play. Yeah. That's fucking heaps.
Oh, that, is this for...
This is Gwent.
Oh, yeah, it makes more sense.
About 25 card packs in like 2 days.
Oh, packs.
Packs.
Oh, you like said boosters. Cards.
Oh, no, boosters. Which have 5 cards each.
Okay, that's fucking rad.
Yeah, that's rad. Whereas Magic, I played for about the same amount of time. I think I got maybe 6
Yeah.
So it's definitely slower. There's no like, because Magic is a trading card game.
Mm.
There's no card trading on the online one. There's no consumer driven markets.
Yeah.
Whereas like the old MTG Online, which is very rudimentary but very popular,
auction house and stuff.
You can sell your cards and you know do all you know. You make the economy with everyone else. Whereas this doesn't. It's very Hearthstone ish again.
Okay.
But every now and then, in packs you get like a wild card, like a rare wild card, which means you can redeem that for any rare that you want. So you can pick.
That's a cool idea.
It's a cool idea. It's very yeah. I don't know. That's where I'm at with that.
But yeah. do you think the generosity of Gwent may work in its favor? A new game, so it's a bit more fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or but there is something comforting about nostalgia.
Yeah. But also, I think MTG has a much, much higher skill ceiling. Like, ridiculous.
Mm.
Whereas Gwent, I feel like you can do pretty well.
Even with you were messing a bunch of face back in the day.
I was. I looked at my final stats up to the point I stopped playing. It's 114 wins to 22 losses.
Damn, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good. That's pretty fucking good. I was good. I was getting ready to stream that shit. I made a whole, like, background layer.
You did, because you're like, can
everything.
I stream it in the channel? I'm like, fuck yeah, you can.
Yeah. Maybe I will now.
Sweet.
Because I've got the cool rig set up and all.
Yeah. Do it, man.
And Thronebreak is pretty good.
Yeah.
Playing it in 4K.
Oh.
There's a free 4K texture pack.
You had me at free.
I can't see the difference. It's isometric cartoon. What did this do to the game? What did this do? It's cool.
Very nice.
It's like isometric, like old school Diablo. Where you click around the map and you run around and you find... There's a story, you find enemies, you get into card battles, like Gwent battles with special rules, and that's good.
Nice.
I mean, it's good. And you get cards in that for Gwent, like the multiplayer, the multiplayer component.
Yeah.
They kind of go hand in hand.
That's nice. Well, at least you know, there's other ways to get cards.
Yeah, not a lot. No, there's 20 cards you can get through the campaign of Thronebreaker.
Oh, okay.
Which you can just craft in Gwent if you want.
Are they predetermined cards? You know what they're going to be?
Yeah, you know what they're going to be. They're in certain chests around the map. You can craft them if you want, but then they're not in the booster packs. So you either get them through playing Thronebreaker or crafting them for a ridiculous amount. But as far as Gwen is concerned, I'm fucking rich, man.
Good that fuck you, man.
I go to the deck building screen. I'm just like, I will take whatever the fuck I want.
Yeah. I like those. Yeah, you got that fuck you money.
I got the fuck you scrap.
Yeah.
Fuck you, scrap.
It's like, everyone's
just
like hey,
throwing pocket nails.
Like, hey, that you shouldn't have that card. Fuck you.
Yeah, I got 7. You can only put 2 in the deck. I have 7. Go back to your basic decks, you peasant.
Take some scraps.
But it was really fucking hard because the whole game's changed. So I built this what supposedly a tier 1 deck, and I got stomped. For ages.
Because I'm like, I just, it, right?
What are all these keywords? What are all these mechanics? I don't know what the fuck is going on. I've made this deck. And I know it's good, but I'm not seeing how all the pieces click in with each other.
Okay.
But it has now. So now it's like all this cool
mushroom face again?
Yeah, mushroom face again.
Very nice.
It's good. Climbing that ranked ladder.
Ooh.
Head for pro ladder. I probably won't. You know how I've been with Gwent. Yeah. Like for a month, it's like this, I'm this fucking hard. Life. I'm going for it. And then it's like, oh, what's this?
Yeah, something shiny comes out.
But nothing shiny's coming out for a while now.
Yeah, we're pretty quiet. Well, Sinking City comes out real soon.
Does it?
Yeah. Yeah. I got confirmation that this time is correct. Okay. Yes, it is coming.
Because I thought that about 2 months ago when it was due out in 10 days.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's due out soon. No, it's not.
Yeah. And I was like, it's not. What do you mean it's not? But no, it's very much coming out very soon. I know someone that's playing it.
Of course you do. I think I probably know who that
is. You know it is. Yeah, yeah. Same guy. Same guy that always tells me shit.
Same guy that gets fucking whatever he wants.
He does listen to this, so hey man.
Hey man. What about you?
So I dive back into Rage 2 again, trying to push through that because I know that apparently the campaign's in like 6 hours long.
What?
Yeah, it's like fucking tiny, apparently.
In an open world?
Yeah, yeah. So if you just beeline it, you get it done in like fucking nothing. Okay. Like if you skip all the external shit, you can just kind of rip through it.
Well, why not just make it a linear game?
So I'm thinking.
Why does it have to
because
be open world?
Everything that isn't shooting fucking blows.
Okay.
Like, I know I was a bit more forgiving about it last week, but the more that I play
it had that new game feel last week, though.
Every in-between part sucks.
Yeah. Like going from shooting.
Yeah, going from A to B. Like, so you do, you go in there, you do shooting, and the shooting's pretty fun, and you know, it's certainly no, you know, it's certainly like it's Doom-esque because it feels very Doom, but there's such a flow and a momentum to Doom that you never really feel like you're stopping, and this constantly feels like you're stopping.
Yeah, but the thing with Doom is because it is like it's linear,
yeah,
and it's very contained. That the scripting for as enemies come, they can determine all that to keep that pacing going and going and going. Whereas obviously in open world you can't do that.
Yeah, yeah. So like, yeah. So when you're shooting shit, it's the best. Everything else is adequate at best. It's a real shame.
She wasn't ready for that photo. I'm just scanning through the drop. She's just like, what? They're not even smiling. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. On top of that, I have been playing some Days Gone as well. Mm-hmm. So I pushed through a little bit further in that. That game, as I said before, just doesn't want to see, doesn't want to end, apparently.
Mm.
The game is fucking monstrously huge.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't know. Like, I want to finish it up, but I don't know how long I can sit with it.
Can you, like, Google the story mission you're on and just look through how many chapters
are left?
That's
a good idea. I might do that. Because it feels like
I do that a lot.
I feel like I've been playing forever.
Because there's nothing better when you do that, and you, it's like there's three more links under it. You're like, fuck, I'm so close to finishing. Or you can do it, and it's like you've just hit the halfway point, and that just kills it. It's like, nah, I'm done.
Like I think in turn, like if there was an, because I was listening to a friend of the show, Explosion Network, Dylan and Ashley over there, and I was, and Dylan was talking about how he explained Days Gone, and it made perfect fucking sense. It's like a three act structure, which it should be. The first structure is fucking painful because it's just setting up the basics of everything. Season act two is when it starts to get a little bit kind of intriguing, and there's this couple of key points that sort of really bring in the intrigue of everything, and then the third one obviously ties everything up and closes it down. So I think I'm in like in the second one part, because there's no, I haven't been introduced to any new people in a while. And we're starting to get into why things are happening.
Right.
Yeah. The only downside I have right now is I still don't feel I can take on hordes.
Mm.
Like, I see a horde, I'm like, I don't think I have anything on me that's capable of taking out. It's not as hard as it looks. Yeah.
Just Molotovs, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's intimidating, because it's supposed to be, but it's not that. It's so not
Look at what I've got. Look at my guns. I'm like, I don't have enough here to make this.
Yeah. I had a surprise horde come at me, and I took him down, just with Molotovs and other grenades and bombs and stuff.
Nice. It is.
I put out my gun and I've got like the hunting rifle, like one shot reload, and I was like, "Poof! Ah, fuck!"
And I did also bust out the VR headset twice, and there'll be a third one next week because next week's what, Blood and Truth. So first up was Everybody's Golf VR. The game is great if you love Everybody's Golf. If you don't love Everybody's Golf, why are you playing it? It's good.
Why'd you buy it?
It's great. There's the start of it is kind of painful in terms of tutorial. It's a little bit jarring, but once you sort of get into the motion, like once you go, okay, cool, here's the tutorial, that's done, get into it. Like you find it's relatively like intuitive, like it's straightforward. Like you don't have to do big fuck off swings that will throw your back out or whatever. Like you can just do like little kind of thunk, you know, like if you do get that moment, you probably get a bit more control. You don't have to do full blown swings, you can kind of just muck with it. It feels cool being on the green of, you know, and looking around and seeing shit, and it really helps
I should go play golf.
It really helps you line up shots, like really, like it's sort of better, I guess. There is a button that rockets you really high above the thing, like not instant, like doesn't go, you don't see it, it just goes, boom, boom, you're really high, like, ah! Fear of heights, don't press the button. So cool. Yeah, so you have a caddy with you. She's always there talking to you, but she's always very stunted. Yeah, she's a Japanese or, you know, Asian looking woman. Her voice is very upper class British, very jarring.
Fair.
Sounds racist, just joking.
No, I understand.
It's like, you hear that, you go, oh, hang on.
Like when you see like a guy that's 6.5 foot tall, 300 pounds, called Brutus, he's like, hey,
yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Whoa.
Like, whoa, dude, what the fuck? Yeah, so the game's really cool. Max and I had a good, big old bit of fun for that.
Painted that whole skit in my head.
Yeah, we had a good bit of fun. We put $20 down first to get a hole in one. We just did it, so worked out well.
Okay.
But yeah, it was fun in games. We should also mention that was thank you to PlayStation Australia for that one, for providing the code for us. Would I rate it? Yeah, man. Like, if you love Everybody's Golf and you've got VR, it's probably the coolest way to play it. There is that hassle to it, though, because one of the things I love about Everybody's Golf is the pick up and play.
Mm.
Like, if I just want to play a round, I just go, and then it's done. It's a good fucking checkout game. Saying that, I'm going to set the VR up, haven't put the VR headset on. Like, there's a whole fucking rigmarole that comes with it, which is a real big bummer. But once you're in, you're kind of in, you lose track of time. There's a little gopher or a little piglet you can see in the distance. You look at it and goes, huh, and looks at you and goes, huh, and then fucking charges at you.
Why?
I don't know.
Can you, like, whack it with
Every time I try to swing it with a thing, and I never quite.
What does it do when it gets to you?
It just kind of runs through your feet and goes the other way. But it's on, like, every second or third hole.
Yeah.
So, like, it's paranoia. I'm looking for it everywhere.
What the fuck is it? Like, in the top of a tree.
Yeah. And it goes, flooing.
Setting you up for a jump scare when you see it in a tree and it does, like, a flying squirrel.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm like, do I have to look at this X amount of times to, A, get a trophy? Mm. Or is it going to eventually get bigger? Is it going to bring its friends?
Mm.
Like, how is this going to go?
For, like, at the 18th hole, there's, like, 40 of them.
Yeah.
I just want to hit them.
Another real big downside of the game is it's incredibly empty. One of the big selling points of especially Everybody's Golf on PS4 is that there's always people around. Like, whether it be online match, whether it be AI, there, like, when you're going, there are people fucking everywhere. Like, there's just, you're competing with tens of people. Behind you, stands are empty. That's common practice in Everybody's Golf regular as well. But on the green, there's no one. Apart from you and the caddy, that's it. So I don't know whether they're... Because we were playing this before the servers went live. So I'm not sure whether they have then brought in people. So you can sort of see just vague figures of someone. It's very leaderboard heavy by the looks, if you want to have any sort of competitive nature to it. Which my friends of the show, Buddy Watson, pisses his pants with leaderboards. Loves them. So unless that changed since I played it, which I'm not sure, like, that's probably it's tough when you're not playing, when you're playing by yourself, because I don't even think there is a multiplayer aspect to play with someone, in like, as in whether you're here and so you're playing PSVR at your house, I was playing it here, and then what we could do, I don't know whether that's a thing. But yeah, so it's fine and it's good. I enjoy it, but I think it caters to what I like in Everybody's Golf. So If you don't fit that demographic, the game's gonna fucking suck dick too. Speaking of, I did almost pick up that bartender VR.
I did.
You did?
Oh no, VR. Oh no, I'm talking about a different bartender game, which I forgot that.
The Valhalla one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last week, didn't we? Oh no, you're talking about.
I did buy it for my plane trip.
Yeah. So I went to pick up the bartender VR game. Apparently, it's a hot mess, and it's like super like simmy
terms
of you have to do it exactly as is. There's no like piss farting around. I'm like, well, I wanted to piss farting around.
Yeah.
So Blood and Truth comes out next week. Super jump on that. We'll be streaming that for sure. I did ask for a code like ages back. I don't know whether we get heard anything. I know there's press kits out in the wild.
Just get our friend to ask for a code on your behalf.
He got press kit. I know there's press kits out in the wild, so I don't know when there are the codes coming. But if not, I'll just fucking buy it. Because it's the London heist from PSVR Worlds. Like that one. Yes. Yeah. Super down. Did you want to talk about your Valhalla?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, man.
The spelling is fucking horrendous. I couldn't find it on the shop.
It's VA1-
It's VA-11 space HA11-A. Right?
Yeah.
In the game, you're in sector VA11 in Hall A.
Oh.
And it's, so the patrons of your establishment just call it Valhalla.
Mm-hmm.
That's how that all works.
Yeah, cool.
But it made it really... Because you had to have the right dashes and all that.
Is it cross-play, by the way?
No, I think it's only on Vita.
Oh.
It's good.
I would Google it. I don't know how to spell it.
It's pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah, simple. But I really like it. I play it every night before bed for about half an hour. I haven't had that for the Vita for a long
time. Well, I never used my Vita, so that's what I was sort of thinking.
So basically, it's in 2070-something.
Mm-hmm.
The world's gone to shit. It's like it's Blade Runner set kind of setting.
Nice.
If you know what I mean. And you're a bartender at this dingy bar. And basically, your understanding of what's happening out in the world just comes from the patrons who come in and talk to you as you mix some drinks.
Cool.
So the world building just comes from having the conversations with other people at the bar. So your picture of the world outside is like all like, fucking must be crazy out there, yada, yada, yada. But you don't see it. That's not the game. So essentially, you make drinks for people and After your shift, you go home, you can buy some upgrades for your house, and then you go back to work the next day.
So how, like, in terms of how complicated is the drink making?
Not very. There's probably about 25 different drinks. You can either age them or do them on the rocks, and you can mix or blend. There's 5 ingredients that you can pick from. Essentially, there's a cup, and someone will be like, oh, I'll have a Brantini, is one of their drinks. It's okay. You look at the recipe, okay, that's 3 of that, one with your finger, that's 3 of that, one of that, on the rocks, mix.
Is it all touchscreen based?
Yeah, you can touchscreen it as you're mixing the drinks. Mix, serve it, you get it right, you get a bonus money at the end of your shift. And you get returning customers to kind of keep world building, and you're like, oh, what's happened to you since you were last in here? And oh, fucking the list and that. And it's got a good sense of humor to you, a few chuckles.
Nice.
It's good. It was like, I don't even know how much it was. I don't even know the price. $19.
Well, if you enjoyed it, then wouldn't matter.
Yeah, no, it's worth it. I played every night before bed.
Because like when
it's something, it's just really different.
Yeah, like it sounds. I like that you never get to see the outside world. I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
So like, I guess you sleep in the bar, I suppose. If you never leave.
No, you've got your room. You do go back to your room after every shift.
Oh, but okay.
But you don't like, you don't walk the streets to get to your room, or your room might be right behind the bar.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you don't know what the outside world's like.
Yeah. But then in your room, there's like, you can read every time at the end of every day, there's like new tabloid newspapers to read, which relates to what people have been talking to you about in the bar. And it's very different.
Yeah,
it's nice. And it's not like
stressful.
Not stressful. Because you can look at all the recipes for all the drinks whenever you want. But sometimes you have to kind of guess what they want, because all the drinks have a description, their flavor profile.
So, oh, I want something like a little bit tangy.
Give me something sour and girly. So you go through your drink book and find something with those tags.
Yeah.
You can get people plastered too. Because the alcohol you add sometimes like optional, and you're like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You're putting like 8 cups of it. Like, here you go. Whoa.
Thanks, man. Yeah. I'm come back. Because it makes me think of like Cook Serve Delicious, which is a cooking game that I picked up a while back. Fun, but yeah, it's that stressful kind of like you have like multiple buttons to trigger shit, and you like it's like, I want nachos, so you get your nachos, then you have to press like, you know, that has all the possible ingredients. It's like triangle is guac, you know, square is sour cream, so you gotta go get that fucking button momentum down. It's like, and different variants, you gotta like go in your out, you know, R2 and your whatever, to kind of like
this is essentially it's just telling you a story.
That sounds super chill.
It's telling you a story, and your interactivity is just when they ask for a drink, figure out what they want and make it for them without a time limit.
Yeah,
you don't have to be like, you know, you have to make the drink in 10 seconds. It's not that. Take as long as you want, doesn't it?
Dig it.
Yeah, it's cool.
All right, well, that's what we've been playing for a pretty extended period of time. There was a bit of fucking around at the start of that, so I don't know how accurate that time is, but...
Make sure you cut it properly.
Yeah, what's that?
Given our pre-show conversation.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. We got all our not PC stuff out of the way.
Not even Patreon content, that stuff.
Shit, but that's what we've been playing. So now it's time we get into the news, where we tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation in a section we call Inform the Players.
Number one, Sony suggested it's exploring PlayStation 5 cross-gen play with PlayStation 4 thanks to backwards compatibility in its next-gen console during the Sony Investor Relations Day. Woo, what a day. 2019 Q&A party. Session. PlayStation heads indicated PS5 could include cross-gen play with PS4 players through the PS5's backwards compatibility features, suggesting people playing PS4 games on their PS5 would still be able to play online with others who are using PS4 games on a PS4, or potentially even cross-gen titles across these systems. You get it? You understand what I'm saying?
PS5 players PS4?
If I... If I'm playing Black Ops 27 on my PS5, but you're playing it on your PS4, we can play together.
Sweet.
As I thought that was expected at this point.
Yeah, with the idea of backwards, because they have been sort of pushing backwards compatibility as essentially a staple of what PS5 will offer, and you sort of how, I think the article I read pretty much said along the lines of it's an integral point to what PS5 is going to be. So it makes absolute sense that they'd put this on there. Because if this wasn't there, what's the fucking point?
Yeah, you're just separating your player base.
Yeah. When it says when you said cross gen, my brain went to cross platform. I was like, oh, sweet. And then they're actually going to be looking at PS5 like, oh no, it's just PS4 and PS5. I'm like, that's unimpressive. That's what they should be doing.
Yeah, I would have expected that to be happening, but it is. It's confirmed.
And like it's one of those things.
And that's
like,
good.
The big problem that we have, that we're going to have face moving coming into this next generation, and that's not just us, that's everyone as a consumer, is the situation of expectation. And you know how like we assume that should be the case. But I guess until we hear confirmation like this, we have to be wary. So like even though like that should seem standard, we need to hear it, otherwise.
Yeah. And I'm sure like that's good news. I'm sure a lot of people are excited, but I had a realization the other day that I don't play with anyone anyway.
Me either.
So
like you know, you and I, like, I mean, we play and then we never do.
No. I play with Alex, like my kid, because
he's there. Because he's there.
It's like more like couch co-op. It's like, you want to play? Yeah, okay. But I don't often party up with people and play a game with them.
Not on a regular basis, anyway. Like, occasionally I've jumped, like, Paul and I from Player 2. Like, we play a lot. Not a lot. We play often.
The last time I did was with Max.
Of review stuff.
For Destiny 2 when we were doing the raid.
Yeah, that's going way back.
And his friends brought me through. That was fun.
Yeah. See, a lot of the time it's mostly review stuff. Mm. Like, hey, this has multiplayer. You got a copy, Paul? Yeah. You want to play? Oh, sweet.
Number two, Sony confirmed that the biggest PS4 exclusives will still be coming to the current generation console, but didn't specifically rule out them appearing on PS5. I'll get into what that exactly means. During that same investor relations call, CEO of Sony Interactive Entertainment, Jim Ryan. That's two characters from The Office.
It is.
Spoke over a slide including key art from The Last of Us Part 2, Death Stranding and Ghost of Tsushima. That focused on the critical role of PS4 over the next few years. The inclusion of these games in this PS4-centric slide confirms they are still planned for the PS4, though these comments don't rule out the possibility of them also appearing on PS5. Regardless, if they receive official cross-gen releases, PS5, of course, will be able to play the PS4 copies because it is backwards compatible.
I remember, once again, doing the research for this episode, I read an article that was on the lines of, like, PlayStation 4 will be important for at least the next 3 years.
Yeah.
So although the next gen is literally right around the corner, if not within probably the next 12 months, the next 12 to 18 months, it's like, well, we still have a little bit of a run on it. Which makes sense, because like it's never just, they know what, the old system's never just dropped. There's always a little bit of blend time.
Here's the thing though. So I buy The Last of Us Part 2 on PS4, right? I bought a PS5. I put The Last of Us Part 2 PS4 disc in the PS5, right? And I'm obviously playing the PS4 version. Assuming a disc version of it for the PS5 would be different.
I assume probably.
You know what I mean? Because it's not going to be like how the Pro operates, where it just goes and kind of lifts everything.
Well, maybe it did what the Xbox One X did. And you buy your Xbox copy of Forza Horizon 4 and you put it in and it goes, oh, you're running an X. Do you want the up-res bullshit?
Do you think they'll do that?
I think it'd be smart. Otherwise, well, I think it'll be a little bit reaching of them to sell two copies of the game, a PS5 and a PS4 version.
I did it for The Last of Us 1.
Yeah, but like...
I suppose 3 and 4 are very different architecture.
Though. Yeah, very different architecture.
But it could have just given you a download.
And you can't take that PS3 disc and put it in your PS4. So what I'm getting is, what will likely happen in the future, if we're heading down this cross path, games will either be titled only as PS5 and you can play it on your PS4 with a little sticker in the corner saying, also play it on PS4. Mm. Or it will just say PlayStation at the top. And then that's the transition we're going to have.
It's a confusing landscape.
It is. Because ahead of us. For PlayStation, this is kind of unprecedented.
You know what I mean? Because like the PS5, all this news has come out that's got an SSD, and everyone's like, well, we need at least like probably 3 or 4 terabyte storage these days.
As we head into...
And a 3 or 4 terabyte SSD is very fucking expensive.
But they're also super open to having portable hard drives now, so...
Yeah, but you don't want to get... A one if they're base 1 terabyte, that's fucked. That's ridiculous. For 2020... That's shit. Excuse that's me. Shit ass. Especially considering these games are probably going to be over 100 gig each.
Child's invading.
Yes.
Clever girl.
He's got your phone.
He's got my phone?
He's taking a photo of himself.
I take photos. Hey, buddy. Oh, he actually is taking photos. Oh, yeah, shit. He's got the photo of everything. So it is a weird time. Thanks, bud.
Bye.
Let's have a quick look at...
See ya.
I've already got 3 photos. Oh, so there's a photo of him in a house that I presume him and my wife made. And then a picture of the four.
Traditional. Child.
Not too bad. Hey, no one messaged me in that time. I like it. I think that's
just on that. I had a very depressing moment today. Yeah. I sent a text out to you, Mum, and someone else, and it was like an hour and a half. I didn't get a reply from anyone. I'm like, is my phone just stuffed? Did I like reset it? Like, waiting? Nothing.
When was this? What message did you send me?
It was like, I don't know.
If there was one thing you sent me, because the one thing you said, coming, I'm like, sweet. And then I woke up. Because I thought that message
actually No, it was earlier in the day. I don't know. Anyway.
I may have been balls deep in wrestling.
I'm like,
at that point.
Yeah. And no one replied. And I was like, that's brilliant.
I like this.
But anyway, yeah.
But yeah, so I think that's how it's going to work.
But you know, the PS5 having that SSD, they're touting how quick the load times are, which there is a video, which is very impressive, by the way.
It is. But it's like somehow sort of leaked. Comparison. Yeah, that's cool.
But obviously, if you have The Last of Us Part 2 on the PS4 and put it in the PS5, it will benefit from that SSD.
Mm.
Yes? Loading time will be quicker.
Yeah.
But then, so then, can you justify spending another $60 to $100 on another copy of it on the PS5 because the graphics are probably a bit better on that disc?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Well, that, or do you get a patch when you put it in your PS5?
Presumably it's a patch.
What's happening?
Yeah, because it's so, like, there needs, like, and I guarantee there will be a conversation about this. Yeah. Like, whenever they announce the PS5, this is the presentation, they'll explain it. But, like, the marketing on that is so tough.
Yeah, it is.
Because it's pretty simple. It's like, hey, you buy a copy on PS5 and it works. Or, you know, I think it's probably, there'll be a one disc solution.
Yeah.
And then the console picks up whether you've got a PS4 or a PS5. And this is what the Xbox did, right? It's an Xbox One copy, and then you put it in your Xbox One and it goes, cool, we don't have to do anything. Mm. You put it in your Xbox One X, it goes, oh, cool, you have an X.
Mm.
Here's the extra shit.
Yeah, but they're still like same gen consoles, whereas the PS5, you'd assume, is going to be, like, even compared to the Pro, it's probably going to shit all over it at that point.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe doing that is quite a bit more difficult.
See, that's the big, that is the big problem, like, moving forward. Like, backwards compatibility is fucking cool and all, but, like, at some point, people are, like, you know, these games aren't, like, cross-generation is cool. But there's going to come a point where it's just dumb. Like, something as simple as, you know, Call of Duty Ghosts. No one gives a fuck about the game. But, like, you compare those two games together, and just the detail, as in, like, there are things in that world that simply are not there.
Or are the three games that are listed here, like, the last wave?
I would call them the last wave.
And then we get Sony Bend. Guerrilla Games, and all of them doing,
and because they're all first parties, they can work around those like, quote unquote, cross generation issues.
Thing is, when it's time for them to, like, clarify how all this is going to work,
it'll be nice.
They need to be so careful, because if they word it wrong or it's unclear, that's going to bite them back real big. If they're like, no, if you buy it, Last of Us 2 on PS4, you know, you put it in the PS4, it works, that's cool.
Mm.
And you put it in the PS5, that's cool. But if you want, like, the PS5 best version graphics, you got to buy the PS5 copy.
Yeah.
That's poop.
I think as part of that big announcement, they'll be like, this is the PlayStation copy of Red Dead. And that's it. Not
PS3.
You
put it in and it downloads whatever console's version.
Yeah, your console goes, cool, I'm this, acts accordingly. That is the only way to go around. And I guarantee it's probably not that difficult.
But of course, even like those early games of the PS5, The Last of Us 2 and all of that, aren't built for the PS5. So you think what we're going to get after that wave that has been built on the PS5 or whatever for the PS5, not doesn't have to worry about it running on PS4, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
This is...
I agree. You know, I think the next wave is that'll be cross-gen, they'll be made for PS5, but works on PS4. Mm. And then from that, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah. Lots of questions.
There's life in the air. A lot of cool things to happen.
Mm. It's good to hear Sony back in the conversation again, though.
It is. It's very good.
They were very quiet for a while. Dangerously so. Mm. But the last couple of weeks, it's been like, oh, this and that. Here's a bit of news on this. You know, people starting to talk about them again. It's good.
Very good stuff.
Number three, CD Projekt Red will be showing gameplay of Cyberpunk 2077 at the next E3, but the game will not be playable by attendees, as reported by PC Gamer. Global community leave Marcin Mamon.
No, because they're from,
I'm sure it's not pronounced Mamot.
Yeah, Marcin Mamon.
Merci, Maman. That sounds kind of hot. Confirmed the news Thursday on Twitter. Maman's tweets reads, quote, "To answer many questions about the demo and whether or not Cyberpunk will be playable at E3, we are going to be hosting gameplay presentations, gameplay by us in that cinema." He also shared there will be different showings for the game, from the show floor demos to behind closed door demos. However, all attendees will see gameplay demos at the CDPR booth. CDPR President and CEO Adam Kaczynski said in March that E3 2019 is going to be the most important one ever for us. We have really prepared a strong show. So.
That game is not coming out anytime soon.
Fucking earth, it's not. I never expected it.
Everyone's like, it's coming out 2019.
We're going to get a date.
You can't touch it. Yes. That game's not coming out.
Can I just hold the controller while the game is running? No. Fuck off.
Without sounding horrible, like, it's either likely, it comes in two ways. Optimistically, they want to control the message. They want to control people see. For a reason. Spoilers, perhaps.
Naughty Dog did it with Uncharted.
Naughty Dog did it with Uncharted. There was hands-on, though.
But later.
Yeah.
This is the first kind of...
Yeah, but like, so as long as we've known about this game, like, they've been at two E3s now. Uncharted was at two E3s, and they're like, hey, you want to play it?
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the difference here. Optimistically, it's like, we want to make sure you guys see the best possible part you can, so we're going to control it just so you see it.
But I think it's also, it's much easier to pull a slice of a level from a linear Uncharted game for people to play than to get a part of this huge open world.
Yeah.
That contains itself but still makes sense. You know, I think it's much more difficult to give a slice of Cyberpunk for people to play compared to, you know, a linear story game.
Pessimistically, if you walk outside of this hallway, this game's gonna fucking crumble. If you don't turn right, you turn left, this game shuts down.
That's fine. It's fine.
No, but I mean, like in terms of the slice that we are bringing, it's not representative of the entire game, obviously, because I'm sure the game is coming together well. Mm. But like with the we don't have a demo prepared for, say, so this is just a slice of the game, and because of that, it's not 100%. We're going to sit in a good 75%. Like, it's enough to demonstrate it works, but we have to follow these strict rules. Mm. Like, if you don't follow the rules in this, you will break the game. Like, you will break this demo.
Oh yeah, yeah. If people were to play it?
If people were to play, yeah, like, I get you. What's over here? Don't fall through the earth. Because, like, we haven't...
Blue screen.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think...
Deleting all data on main server.
How did you do that? Like, that, yeah. It's pessimistic, of course, but I think that's the possible way to go about it. It's like, it's not quite built.
No, it's fine. I'm not...
Because I remember, like, the God of War, when we watched the documentary, they're like, hey, we built this thing, but we had to follow, like...
Yeah, exactly this path.
Like, because timing was all important, and it's all these different things in order to hit the right beats. And
The game is fine. I'm really, really excited. It's just not anytime soon. But I'm not rolling on that hype train anymore. But I'm still, like, keen as.
Yeah, like, it is not coming this year.
I won't even watch. Like, if they do something on the stage, which I'm pretty sure they're going to do,
there'll be an Xbox.
I'll obviously watch that. But I'm not going to, you know, watch videos of someone who got to sit in the behind the scenes thing and they do their talk about it.
Yeah. Well, how are you thinking? And what's your plans for E3? Because without PlayStation's presence, it's less exciting for me. I'm not, and plus with my current job, I'm not going to take a week off to go and watch them all. So I think I'll probably watch them. Like, how do you want to cover it this year?
I don't know. I mean, I still have I still have uni on those Mondays. We could probably do an extra For the Players episode just on
third party.
Just on E3.
I'm down with that.
Sony's not going to be there.
Yeah, do it on like a Thursday or Friday or something. Yeah.
I guarantee you Sony will do something during that week.
Yeah.
Which will be...
Do you want to do predictions again?
I'm always way off.
It was always
like it's kind of defeated me. It's like, why even bother? You don't fucking know anything.
We have to win James's toy.
You've been doing this for 5 or 6 years and you still don't understand how this industry works.
Yeah, I tend to go alright.
Yeah, but you have you talk to all these other people.
Yeah, I do.
And I don't.
Yeah, I'm very deep in the
world.
You're
real deep in it. Yeah. I'm just cash.
You're like, yeah. I want this.
I'm like, Sinking City next week. And you're like, it's delayed. I knew it was delayed like a week and a half ago. Fuck.
And here's why. I proclaim.
Yeah, we'll discuss it. We'll do something. Yeah. Even if it's just like a For the Players episode after.
Yes, like I'm not going to be stream. I probably won't stream them live like I have the last couple of years. I may come home from work and stream them from home. And like, if you guys want to watch along with me, cool.
Depends what time they all are and all that kind of stuff. Well, I am very interested in the Xbox one.
Xbox is at a reasonable hour. It always is. I think it starts, I think it's like 6 o'clock to nine on a Tuesday or something. Which is compared to like Square Enix, 2 in the morning. So, I'll probably watch them in the afternoon of the day.
Yeah. All right, quick bits. God of War sales passed 10 million. Call of Duty.
Second highest selling first party.
Behind?
Uncharted.
Four. Call of Duty 2019 is a soft reboot of the Modern Warfare series. So it's called Call of Duty Modern Warfare.
Yeah.
Confirmed by Jason Schreier. So it's real, basically. And rumor. Ubisoft is revealing a brand new IP sometime this year at E3, possibly at E3. It involves skating and a sports ball.
What?
This is one of their AAA games. On Twitter, there was a logo and everything.
What?
So maybe dipping into that Rocket League, maybe rollerblades and basketball or
something? Nah, fucking skate.
It's not skate.
Oh, damn it.
They don't own skate.
EA does.
I'm talking to Ubisoft.
Oh, I misread. Oh. I heard skate and went, Skate 4!
I was excited. Where's Skate 4? Skate 4
over here? Are you Skate 4?
No. So it involves skating. So probably skate, you know, and a sports ball. So it may be like rollerblade, basketball.
Yeah, stop caring now.
Nah, that'd be cool. It's amazing that no one's really kind of dipped into Rocket League's territory.
Yeah, that's true.
At all.
That's very true.
I mean, a few, like Disc Jam tried to do something. And there was like, I think Laser League, all very like low budget kind of things. But Ubisoft are like, hey, this is really popular. It has no competition. We want a piece of that pie. We're going to do something cool. It could be cool.
Have you heard about the kerfuffle behind Call of Duty?
Oh, with Treyarch and Raven. Ravensoft?
Yeah, so
Raven
for those that don't know, so as everyone, pretty much common practice at this point, Call of Duty works on a 3-year cycle, as in it'll be like Treyarch, Infinity Ward, Sledgehammer, and whatever, right?
Yeah.
So the next one is it's supposed to be Sledgehammer with Raven.
So this is for 2020.
This is for 2020. So yeah, there's one that comes out this year, which I believe is Treyarch, isn't it? No. Yes. No.
This year?
Yeah.
No, it's Infinity Ward this year.
Yeah, so Infinity Ward this year.
Hence why it's a soft reboot of Modern
Warfare. Oh, yeah. Yes, that's correct. So I got my two stories mixed up. So Call of Duty this year will be Infinity Ward doing Modern Warfare. So just redoing Modern Warfare.
And next year was meant to be Sledgehammer.
Yeah.
And
But a lot of the reins were given to Raven. Mm. And then Raven kind of...
It's not shaving.
And Activision have come in and gone, this is a fucking hot mess. Mm. And they've had to pull it from Raven and Sledgehammer and bring in Treyarch again.
Who are doing Black Ops 5, apparently.
To making Black Ops 5. Because how much of a dumpster fire will it then
apparently
make?
Raven... Is it Raven Soft
it's
or something?
Raven, yeah.
It's not Raven. Just Raven, I don't think. Pretty it's sure. Raven something. Anyway, something. They haven't actually made a game for like a decade.
Yeah, they've just been secondary on a bunch
but
of
But they've been supporting Call of Duty titles for all this time. They finally get that... Maybe you guys give it a go. Fuck. You guys are shit. Not really. But yeah, it's more whatever like, they were doing is not shaping
they
up.
Had a it's almost like a similar result to Mass Effect Andromeda, right? They're like, we'll give it to the quote-unquote, the B team. And because the B team have only ever worked on... they're used to being the B team. You give them A team level stuff. They're like, ugh.
They could have just taken the opportunity to skip a year.
Yeah. This is the problem of annualized games, eh? Like, so now instead, Treyarch are going to have
Crunch just came off Crunch for Black Ops 4.
Yeah.
And probably now still they're working getting on maybe a year and a half development time for this one.
Yeah.
It's year and a half? Yeah. Well, less than.
Yeah.
Because if it's about 14 months before I think they have to have it done.
Well, it depends on how quick and how much they're going to have to scrap. So apparently this was supposed to be set around the Vietnam War, which would be pretty cool because there's not a lot of games that sort of cover the Vietnam War. So
Tropic Thunder.
Pretty interesting.
Make a great game. Great Call of Duty setting.
so apparently some of that's still staying in, but I guess Treyarch coming in sort of fixing it. What do you think?
Be interesting to find out in respect to what Treyarch are doing next. What is happening with
if that's Blackout? Black Ops 5, what's going on here? Yeah.
What's happening with Blackout? Like,
we discussed it.
Yeah, we did. That's what we said when it came out. What happens to everything you've unlocked and earned in Blackout when the next Black Ops comes out? Is there... do they break off Blackout and make it a standalone? Or do they bring out, like, Blackout 2 and everything on other Blackout means fucking nothing and all your money and progress means shit. Come over here and spend more money. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, apparently they've been sort of tipping on the free-to-play model.
Is it in China? I think they split Black, well, they're talking about it. I've heard rumors that they want to split Blackout off from the game.
Yes, I've heard Call of Duty wanting to do some sort of free to play model.
Which is a way to go, I think.
Fuck yeah, it is.
But you know what?
Fuck yeah, it is.
Mm. Call of Duty, hot mess. Has been for a long time. Will be for a long time.
Do we care?
No. Not really. I get excited every year around COD release time. And I buy it every year, just about. And I'm always disappointed.
Yeah, me too.
I have like maybe 3 hours of fun. And then it's like, ugh. Will I buy this year's? Probably. Because I'm a jackass. That's it for the news, Ryan, as we have a chat to the players about.
I don't have that article. I pulled the article down. Just go to Push Square.
This news topic brought to you by Push Square.
Only because that was my point of reference. If you just go down where it says news and then go this week and then scroll down to the bottom of the page again. Keep scrolling. You can't scroll too far. Go up. Keep going.
You told me to go down to the bottom.
There it is. Click the one that says this week.
Where?
Down there.
Oh, yeah.
That one there. Yeah, cool. Very nice. Scroll down to the bottom again.
The bottom or the stop of the news feed?
Stop of the news feed.
Right.
That's keep going. That's only up to Wednesday. Keep going.
This much doesn't happen in a week.
It does, apparently. Keep going.
I could have just Googled
just
it.
More. There it is.
I could have just Googled it.
So this week, Sony announced that they are establishing a new department that will be handling their video game properties as they move into sort of TV and film. So the big idea around this is rather than optioning the rights off to an external party and then losing semi-creative control, I suppose, they want to keep it mildly in-house and have control.
Well, it will be overseen by Sean Layden himself.
Pretty dope.
The man himself. I'll get into it.
Go ahead.
The studio, the aptly named PlayStation Productions, nice alliteration, will be led by Asad Quilzabash and overseen by Chairman Sean Layden, and has already started work on its first slate of projects. The idea is to take the platform holder's library over 100 IPs and bring them to both the small and big screen. Quote, instead of licensing our IP, we're going to do it ourselves, as Ryan just said. Well, what else is pertinent to this? Apparently, the no company's no rush to push content out, so it'll be taking its time to find the right actors, directors, screenwriters. It'll also have full creative control. Exactly what this means for the long overdue Uncharted movie remains to be seen, but Layden is optimistic about what the organisation will achieve. Quote, this is a passion project, Layden said. To be the first gaming entity to do something lasting and meaningful in a completely different medium is something I'd like to see us achieve here at PlayStation Productions. Now, to go along with that, let me find the mouse cursor and go up. Sony confirmed during investor relations presentations that it's developing a TV show based on Twisted Metal. It also stated that the Uncharted movie is in advanced development.
I think this was on the back of this announcement,
Sony Pictures Entertainment Chairman and CEO Tony Vinciquerra explained that the recently announced PlayStation Productions has closed the deal for a Twisted Metal show. They didn't share any details beyond that. Quote, we have a TV show we just agreed to get underway that will be developed from the IP on PlayStation. It's called Twisted Metal. It's a game that has that was put out many years ago, and we're going to develop a TV series around that.
Cool. So the reason...
Is it cool?
Well, that's
it's
the
essentially
thing.
Death Race with Jason Statham. Well, which was terrible.
That's the reason. So the reason I wanted to make this the main piece for today is a couple of reasons. A couple points I would like to hit. One, is this a good thing? Two, what should we be expecting?
Mm-hmm.
Three, what IP should be touched? And then we can expand from that.
So number the first one, is this a good thing?
This is a good thing.
Remains to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, what did you say?
I forget.
You just said it.
Yeah, I know.
It remains to be seen. It remains to be seen. Legend of Dragoon.
All right.
No, but we're not going to know. Certainly very interesting.
No, I mean, like, this in terms of the decision that they've made here, I think it's the best way they could have gone about
this.
To do this, yeah. So what they've done here is they've done essentially what Marvel have done after fucking up. So Marvel originally, when they were in trouble, when they were in that bankrupt situation, this is way before that. So that they were,
that was pretty shit,
Marvel though. Comics themselves were facing bankruptcy. So they were forced to sell off the intellectual property rights. So not the property rights, like the licensing rights, optioning rights to a lot of their characters for movies to make some bank.
Fox got X-Men
and Daredevil.
Was it Fantastic Four?
Fantastic Four.
Yeah. Sony got one in, didn't they?
Yeah, so Sony has Spider-Man.
That's right.
Because the exact conversation went down the no one else is going to care about Marvel. We'll only take Spider-Man.
Mm. Mm.
Suck
now,
it.
It's worth noting that they're not doing this because they're in financial straits.
No. The different. So Marvel's decision to do that was because they had to option off their products to make some money.
And then they wanted them again later.
Yeah, and then so down the line when Marvel Studios became a thing, they kept all that property in-house. So then Marvel created Marvel Studios around the idea of let's keep control of what it is. Mm-hmm. And then bit by bit, they're slowly getting back all the rights for stuff they needed.
Mm-hmm. What do they have left to get?
Spider-Man's probably the only one that's kind of iffy. Mm. So now with the purchase of 20th Century Fox, Disney.
It's like, hey, give us Fantastic Four and X-Men back. No. We'll just buy your fucking company.
I'm going to the boss.
Get your boss on the phone for me. Hey, get the fuck out of my office.
I want to speak to the manager.
You're fired.
This is my desk now.
Yeah.
So the only one that's kind of iffy is
Spider-Man
because it's on Sony, but Sony are willing to play ball.
So and they have.
Yeah.
And the movie was great. The game was great.
Yeah.
Apparently. I was a bit iffy on it. Everyone loved it.
So I think by having them keeping it in-house like this, it controls that creative process. This is probably the best way, presumably, to ensure that we're going to get the best video game adaptation.
Depends how much money they're willing to throw at it.
Mm.
But the benefit keeping it in-house also is it's like, hey, maybe we should do a God of War movie.
Mm.
Hey, Corey.
Yeah, well, same thing. Like hey, you know? We'll do Last of Us or Uncharted. Hey, Neil.
Yeah. Come sit down with me.
Yeah.
And we'll have a
chat. Because, like, remember when they were talking about the Uncharted film and how Tom Holland was rumored to be a part of it? And and they asked Neil Druckmann. He's like, I don't fucking know anything about this.
Yeah. That sucks.
Mm. Like, the creative brains behind this is like...
Why it's successful and why someone wants a movie adaptation of it are not involved.
Exactly. And one thing they did also mention in the article as well, like, hey, we understand that trying to tell a 40-50 hour story into the space of 2 hours is near impossible. So that looks like they're looking at more of additive to the series rather than a retelling, which is nice as well.
I'll go into it. Layden added that all the Division's projects will complement their interactive counterparts. Quote, when fans beat a 40-50 hour game and have to wait 3 or 4 years for a sequel, we want to give them places they can go and still have more of that experience and see the characters they love evolve in different ways. So it sounds like they're looking at doing it as a complementary to the games rather than...
Way smarter.
Yeah. I like it. I like it a lot. Twisted Metal, though.
Yeah. I've never played it, so I'll let you run that one.
No, well, Twisted Metal is a... It's a battle royale.
Oh shit!
It was. You got all these cars, different cars with characters. You know, the cars all had their own personalities. Like you had Sweet Tooth and Sweet Tooth in Rocket League. You know,
excuse me.
They all had different weapons on their cars. Last one standing wins.
Mm.
And there's power ups around the map and stuff like that. It was a good game. I'd love to have another game. I don't know if I'd love to have a TV series. I don't understand. I played Twisted Metal. I would have been 9. Mm. 8 or 9. I don't remember
You're now 31.
I don't remember even if there was a story there or something to build on. Mm. I just remember the cars go bang bang and that's it.
Well, that would be the real positive, because if they were to do it like a TV, like a Sons of Anarchy TV series.
But the cars were the personalities. Yeah. I don't remember people.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. Yeah. I just don't remember that.
Like, if this was like an animated or a CG sort of TV series.
That could be
20
cool.
20-minute episodes.
That could be cool.
And it's the story of Sweet Tooth going from...
Because they're not necessarily saying, like, it's live action.
Like Game of Thrones level shit.
No, they're not saying that. So if they did do some, you know, animated shows, I think that'd be very, very cool.
Well, they have dipped their toes now with the likes of Ratchet & Clank.
Mm-hmm.
Saying it didn't go well. But, you know.
They tried.
No, they tried.
But they didn't. They tried out of house.
Yeah.
Didn't they?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, Sony Pictures, but yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in that case, I don't know. It's a weird thing. Like, I think it's the right idea, especially on the back of the success of Detective Pikachu, which is now confirmed the best reviewed video game franchise movie.
Wasn't the anime out first though?
Film. Mm. Well, yeah.
I'm sure the games came after the TV show.
In the US, it did. So therefore, it's not
really a video game adaptation.
Yeah.
Because it's based off the animated TV show.
Yeah. But I guess there's a weird line here. But yeah,
they want to preach it that way. Yeah, that's
so like, it's doing better than Doom. It did better than
Doom. Super Mario
Brothers.
I liked Doom.
Oh, did you really?
I was like 14. Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck did I know about?
I like The Rock.
Yeah, well, what did I know about movie con? Like, you know, what did I know? Oh, that was good. And when it went into that first person perspective,
I
shit
my
like,
pants. Woo! Yeah, so I was like, oh, banger. I remember when I think it yelled me like 14, I was like, that is the most innovative thing they could have done in this movie.
Yeah. Well, I did not expect that. Expectation subverted.
10 out of 10. 14 year old, right?
I think I watched it heaps. It was good. It was good. Could they do it now? Who would Doom Guy be?
Channing Tatum. Jared Butler.
But doesn't. I guess it doesn't matter because his personality is through his actions. He doesn't speak.
No words, yeah.
It's just what he does.
So after watching the likes of like Olympus Has Fallen like 48 times because me loves that film.
Okay.
You just need like someone that can do violence.
Yeah.
That's all I kind of really need. Mm. Oh, that brings another question. What properties should be touched?
I don't know. I would much prefer everything they did to be like TV series that you get through PS Plus, like Netflix.
Well, they tried that with Powers.
PS Plus TV or something like that.
Yeah, well,
Powers was garbage.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know what I mean? Because obviously, if they do make a TV series, where do they market it?
Mm.
Maybe that, because PS Plus is fucking garbage right now. Maybe they could incorporate their movies and TV into PS Plus. And it's this whole one big thing. Here's your movies, here's your games, because you subscribe to PS Plus. Here's your movies, games, TV shows.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool. I don't know. Because I think I'm so jaded from all the video game adaptions to this point that I'm just like, I don't really care.
Well,
have you seen any of the pictures from the Witcher Netflix series?
No.
Poor. There was a side-by-side, there was a Nilfgaard knight, and like in the game, it's all like very intricate, like black, like it looks menacing, black with gold lining, and they've got their emblem, and it's like, that looks fucking dope. Netflix series, it's like the puffy vest from Seinfeld, but it's grey. I'm not joking. Poor.
Please,
very poor.
Please pull that picture up.
I'll try to pull it up.
So like, I think the answer is TV series. I think the long form storytelling of video games is required for TV. Like, films are cool and all, but it would need to be simpler IP. Like, IP that we deal with now with the PS4 and whatnot, we are looking at
that's the game. That's
oh
the
my
show.
God, it's just an unironed jacket.
Yeah. Very poor.
It looks gross.
Very poor. How good does this armor look? How intricate is it? You know, you got the sun, which is their emblem, and you got the towers, and then
yeah, but incredibly
same guys.
Incredibly expensive to manufacture.
Same guys. Yeah. Make it out of fucking plastic. It's a 3D printer. Just paint it.
Oh shit, that's a good way to go about it.
Come on.
Yeah, so I think easier IPs, like less intricate ones, probably where it's at. Mm. Like,
well, you could do. You know, you haven't seen the last of the Uncharted series, or have you? Spoiler, he's a daughter.
Yeah. See, I think like,
maybe a mini series with Drake's daughter.
God of War, a TV series about how he went from Greece to...
But then you got to think about how realistically you can cast actors to pull it off. Because
Jason Momoa.
But he's not going to... He's not going to sound like Christopher Judge. But Christopher Judge doesn't look like Kratos.
Yeah, he's pretty jacked though. Just paint him white. That's racist.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. But you know, when you're taking these characters, this is the issue I had with like casting Nathan Drake and all that. It's like those characters are already done.
Yeah.
That's what they look like. That's what they sound like. These are their mannerisms. They are a person. And to take someone from the real world to try to mimic all of that without the voice, very difficult.
But, okay.
That's why I'm saying, like, a TV show with Drake and Elena's daughter could work, because you don't really know her. She, you know, you haven't really, you don't know anything. So they could cast someone that I think is good and run with it from there.
What about, because, like, they already got these big motion capture rooms, right?
Mm.
Or why don't they just, because technology has drastically increased.
Oh, you want to do CG movies?
Yeah, why not?
I wish Blizzard would do that.
But I mean, like, in terms of you, like, you can, when you watch any of the behind the scenes footage, like, they are moving, and they are moving something in real time with whatever the game's doing. They've got that screen off to the side that's doing the same thing in real time. Mm. Like, the technology is at a point where it sits over itself like that.
Yeah.
So it's not building the frame and then working on the frame.
I just want to show you, I don't think you've seen this, but I want to show you how good
Blizzard
are.
Yeah, no, I've seen some of the Blizzard cinematics. So it's fucking
this is
great.
Their most recent one for the expansion.
Like, granted, how the rendering and time on this would be redonkulous.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This is a 2.5 minute trailer, but there's a dog boy there. That's Gen Greymane. He's the leader of the Worgen. But just Andrew and Rin, the leader of the Alliance.
Yeah, give me that. Give me 2.5 hours of that.
How good does that look?
Looks stunning.
And even the non-human characters look, you know.
Yeah.
Just watch his final shot. Ready? Right before it cuts. Here.
Big slow-mo axe jump.
That's how you fucking hype a game.
Yeah. Was this a classic or the next expansion?
No, for the last expansion.
Oh. Oh, Azeroth. Yeah, nice.
But I was just showing you how Blizzard are the best.
Yeah.
At doing, like, CGI trailers and movies, no one beats them in terms of how they look.
Well, because I remember when they did, like, see what the fuck were they called? Cinematic trailers for the Knights of the Old Republic. I'm like, this game looks fucking dope. Mm. Like, give me just these trailers.
Mm. That's why, like, with the Warcraft movie,
yeah,
looked amazing. Really, like, the orcs,
incredibly expensive.
The orcs and everything looked incredible. The humans just wearing armor, you're like, why didn't you just CGI the humans like you did the orcs?
Yeah,
and it would have been 10 times better because you got that consistent art style all the way through
Like, and I think I know, like, there is that sort of, but the problem is CG has to be done right. CG looks like asshole.
Fucking earth, it does.
And, like, that's the concern, especially when you want to go semi realistic, because in terms of a artistic tone across all of Sony's first parties at the moment is that it's all realism. Ooh. Like, there's no, like, artistic twist to them.
But that's a benefit in the way that if they're like, hey, we're going to do, I'm just going to keep saying God of War. We're going to do a God of War movie in CG. So we can get the team that did Kratos in CG to help us. And obviously from the other studios, if they want to, you know, who's your best CG animator? Who did this and that?
Yeah, have
that.
Him come be the...
Can they come for a couple months and help us get this right? And, you know, they have all the talent there to do it across their brand.
It's mocap and paste on top. Mm. I know it's not that easy. But, like, because I remember when we were talking about Toy Story, but this wasn't, like, $9.95. like, it would take the better part of 30 minutes to 3 days minimum to render one image, like one frame.
Yeah.
Depending on the complexity of the frame.
Yeah. I understand. I get all that.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, I get that, but technology has agreed at such a point. Like, when the likes of South Park can get an episode done in 6 days.
Mm. It's very rudimentary animation.
Yes, though. But I mean, like, in terms of animation, though, like, they talk about, and if you watch the documentary, it's like 6 days to air. Mm. Like, we used to have machines specifically built, custom built, because they had to be.
Mm.
Now, we'll use IMAX. Off the shelf, we go down to fucking whatever bar, we just buy them off the shelf, and it works.
Yeah.
So I think we are at that point. I think
I don't think
that could also just show my naivety towards, by the way.
From what they've said, it doesn't look like they're going the CG route. They are movies, director, actors. Well,
there's still a director
which
required,
is fine, huh?
There's still a director required with animated movies.
No, I understand, but I don't think they're going that way. But I would like to see them explore.
Mm.
Hey, let's do a Ratchet and Clank CG movie. Hey, let's do a Twisted Metal animated series.
Mm.
Hey, let's do a live action. Blah. I don't want them to just pick a style and stick with it.
The other problem that they'll be facing is that track record, right? Because I imagine a big hunk of this money, although it would be primarily from them, you think there would be, they need investors. They need studios to get behind them. They need, like, whoever, finances. But the track record of CG movies or video game movies in general has been poor. Like, you know, Final Fantasy, Spirits Within, look like poo. Also came out 100 years ago. But I mean, like,
Advent Children was
that was
though.
Super cheap. Sorry, that was super expensive and it made no money. Ratchet and Clank, super expensive, didn't make a whole bunch of money. Like, there is that line of like, yes, but all movies are expensive to make. And if you're going to make that risk, why make the best risk?
I'm sure they understand that, you know, they're talking about we've got 100 IPs that we can work with. Not all of them are going to work in the same directory style.
Correct.
Not all of them can be live action. It just doesn't make sense. Not all of them can be an animated series. That doesn't really make sense. You know, I just hope they're willing to fuck around.
Yeah.
And really sink money into it. Because people will spend the money. Like, you look at Detective Pikachu and all the money that's made and all that. If a movie's good, that people will see it. So, yeah. I don't have much more to say about it. I just can't think of anything that I would really want.
Yeah, I'm super cynical.
Like, I'm really...
Like a Westworld version of Horizon Zero Dawn. Dope.
I don't want to label myself as a gamer because it's lame, but I play games to experience
these
stories.
Isn't it weird that that's lame?
Not as in like I'm embarrassed, but it's like you're proclaiming I am a gamer. No, you play games. Right. I mean, that's not who you are. You just play video games, even though it is who I am. But you know what I mean? You see what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
You're not a gamer. You're just a dude who plays games. Stop labeling yourself. Yeah. You can be more.
Yeah. Fuck, philosophical.
I forget where I was going with that.
I'm not sure you're going either. But let us know what you think.
I don't know what they could do.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, I play games to experience these stories, how they're presented. And I've never really been too keen of like, oh, I'd love to see a movie based on this. Well, no, because I just got 50 hours out of this game and it was brilliant.
There is an art form to video game storytelling. We've done right. The reason it works as such a good entertainment piece is because it tells stories differently. It tells a more interactive experience that the other mediums like TV and film just can't match.
And it's not even just a matter of it being interactive. It's that it can do proper pacing over 5, 10, 15, 20, 50 hours if you want, however long it needs to tell that story in the way it's been written that has the most impact. Video games have that freedom, whereas a movie is like, it's got to be about 2 hours.
Yeah.
TV show, there's more freedom. There's more freedom in that, obviously, yeah. But it's still, yeah.
Yeah. Let us know what you think should make what games Sony should make into movies, TVs, and other assorted crap. Let us know in those comments below. Facebook group, facebook.com/group/popculturist, or there are plenty of ways to contact us. All those links are in the description below. But man, those movies are coming out in like 100,000 years. We'll barely see them in our time. Fuck, even Cyberpunk's not coming out this year. Let's talk about games that are coming out this week in a section we call Coming to the Players,
where we read you the drop verbatim,
almost literally. Yeah.
The drop new PlayStation games for May 28, 2019: Blood and Truth, PSVR, digital and retail.
Yeah, read that one out.
Star in your own explosive action movie blockbuster with this PSVR exclusive shooter. Battle through the crime-ridden London underworld as elite soldier Ryan Marks. Ooh, immersion. In your deadliest mission yet, to save your family from a ruthless criminal empire. Wreak havoc through an unpredictable story packed with twists and shocking revelations.
The fun part. I like how you're like, he'll enjoy that. I'll play the game. Like, hey, Ryan, that's me.
That's me. And me.
So I'm excited, super excited about this personally, because I really enjoyed the London heist in the VR worlds. It's a good taste. And like, it's done by London Studio. So these guys made The Getaway back on PS2. The Getaway is dope. And we're never going to see it. We're very unlikely to see a new Getaway anytime soon. So this is essentially the spiritual successor. Yeah. Is there another word you hate? Because that seems like a Reddit word.
Impartial.
A spiritual successor to The Getaway.
Cricket 19, PS4 Digital. This is a horrific cover.
And this is also a spiritual successor to The Getaway.
It's also a spiritual successor to Cricket Probably 18.
Yeah, it's a spiritual successor to Cricket 18. all the original cast
it's
is back.
It's a very poor, like...
It's just three people staring vaguely, and that woman looks really shocked.
She wasn't ready for the photo. No. Like, the flash went off. She's like, oh. Anyway.
You can't have fun in pictures.
That's about to take a load face, that is. Daisy, PS4 Digital. Finally,
yeah. This game was announced at the launch of PS4.
Yeah,
and no one gives any fucks about this game anymore. No.
I'm pretty sure it's priced ridiculously. I could be wrong, but I remember seeing somewhere that it's just priced badly. Dragon Fang Z: The Rose and Dungeon of Time, PS4 Digital. That's some weeaboo shit. Five Nights at Freddy's VR: Help Wanted, PSVR Digital.
Weeaboo shit.
You can try that.
No.
No. Final Fantasy Freddy's good.
I'm sure it'll be horrifying.
No, oh, yeah.
Well, maybe. I'll see how it's going.
It's Jump Scare Fest. But not in like...
Only if you come stream it with me.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
If you stream it with me, then that's a deal.
Golem Gates, PS4 Digital. The House in Fata Morgana.
Because I have too much of a vision to do it myself.
Yeah. PS Vita, Digital and Retail Crossbuy. I'm into my Vita at the moment. What's this? A Gothic Suspense... A gothic suspense tale set in a cursed mansion. The House in Fate Morgana is a foot... Nah, okay.
So, and I'm out.
Lapis X Labyrinth, PS4 Digital and Retail.
I've seen that before.
Layers of Fear 2, PS4 Digital. Super Cane Magic Zero, PS4 Digital.
Stoked.
Super Tennis Blast, woo, PS4 woo. Digital. Trova Saves the Universe, PS4, PSVR. Trova? Digital.
Oh,
retail.
This is the from Squanch Games.
Is this Rick and Morty people?
The Rick and Morty guys,
you can tell from the just the character design.
Yes, these are the Rick and Morty guys.
Your dogs have been dognapped by a beaked lunatic who stuffed them into his eye holes and is using their life essence to destroy the universe.
Hey,
did
buddy.
You catch that?
Yeah. Sounds bonkers.
I'm not reading anymore because that's ridiculous.
Yes, bud.
Unruly Heroes, PS4 Digital, Warlock's Tower, PS4, PS Vita, Digital Crossbow.
Hey.
Warlock's Tower is a retro puzzle. Nah.
Can you see your face? Oh. Tummy's hanging out.
Oh. That PlayStation conversation happened on a Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Standard Time on YouTube and 8 a.m. on iTunes, Spotify, and other podcast services.
Sorry, my child.
If you'd like to be a part of future conversations, please join us on Facebook, Discord, comment below. Feeling generous, join us on Patreon. Patreon.com/popculture. Sit over there, check out the tiers. Might be something there that interests you.
He's trying to find himself on the camera again. if you want to join this PlayStation conversation live, you can head over to patreon.com/thepopculturist and get yourself a nice little link to join us as we chat. If you want to show the support of PopCulture in a little bit more of a once-off fashion, head over to popculturist.com/shop. We buy a sort of shit with our logos on it. Mm. We are also Twitch. twitch.tv/thepopculturist. And while you're there on your app of choice, downloading this show, giving it reviews and stars and whatnot, being treating it all nicely, why don't you go check out our wrestling podcast, The Young and the Wrestlers.
I think you need to do the opposite and tell the wrestling people to listen to this.
Oh no, I do it on both.
Okay, because the wrestling show has got some good numbers.
It's got adequate numbers.
It's got very adequate numbers. I'm just saying.
If we can get both, rising tide lifts all podcasts.
We just need to get Jem sit in the middle here.
Just sit there. We'll talk over it. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And that was For the Players. You texting.
Mum.
Ooh. For the Players, the Pop Culturist PlayStation podcast is fan-supported at patreon.com/thepopculturist. And we'd like to thank our Patreon producers and our Patreon founders for their kindness, their support, and their generosity. Our Patreon founders, Alpha Ferret, Craig O'Flaherty, David Chataway, Jesse Stevenson, and Jacob Garner. And our Patreon producers, Damien Holdies, Hakim NPC, Lee Winter Chauvin, Paul James, Pure Mongrel, and Sean Levitt.